avsnittet. Okej, där är det bra. Ja, där är det bra.
Hallå? Ja. Okay. Nearly ready to begin. Let me see if I get this working. Okay, I tried to start this 10 minutes ago and it wouldn't. So I had to restart the computer again. So that's why I'm a bit late. Okay, welcome to the third and last series of lectures and exercises to this course. So here we are, 3rd of May, and a number of things we would like to cover. Perhaps as first issue, let me also start Skype, so students who are following this via the streamed solution, that they can also communicate with me. So everything is low today, so I hope Skype is starting in the background. Yeah, here it is. Turning around, once more. Okay. Okay, so as the first thing, I thought maybe you or some other people who are following with this have some legal questions, allowed questions to the project, which I hope everybody has discovered. We have a project this week. So I cannot answer questions concerning how to solve, but I can answer questions regarding understanding the project, if things are not clear and so on. Yes? So the question is the first task here. Let me open the so that it is clear, project one. Okay. Rewording the problem. That's, in a sense, the first task. So, yes, the idea is that you do that in connection with defining a convincing case where the security incidents impact on the enterprise or organization ability to, and then you have to choose, is it to produce or is it to deliver some services? And in connection with the case, then you should also adapt the system dynamic model so that it matches the case as best as possible. So that means some of the variables that are there should be renamed. And that's one of the issues where you have an opportunity to show that you have a mature understanding of the subject. So both here and in other steps, don't try to follow my presentation, my lecture too closely, but rather give it a personal touch so that I feel you have really mastered it and are able to independently to create a nice case and to find good variables for the case and so on. So I think the project is nice in the sense that you should be familiar with the things that are there, but the point is for you to show and the way of dealing with that you have your own personality and can do it well. So the question is it more about the case or more about the model? Is the way I understand. Of course, the model plays a role here, but what I would like you is to show an understanding of information security, its importance, and the way models can help understand the process of information security. So don't try to copy-paste from my lecture and so, but even if a number of things are similar, because I am giving you some steps, then you have, of course, the challenges to determine the right numerical values, which is something that I show you in principle how to do, but then you have to do it now on your own with new variables and simulate it and explaining what is happening. And then you have a challenge somewhere, and that is which requires more analytical work. The optimal value of the problemness process throughput, which I haven't done for you in class, but I gave you ideas mentioning the paper of Morrison how to do that. So that's it's not too difficult, but on the other hand, it does require some analysis on your part so as to arrive at the right equation and solve it so as to get the right number. And as I indicated, you can use numerical simulations to validate it. So if you get some solution by solving the equation, you can check also by simulating that this is the case. And if you are not able to do the analytical computation to find the optimal, then you can still see numerically if you can get an idea as to what is the value. Yes? Yes, so it's how to interpret the question of e-production in this case, which e-production, if you are thinking of services, is perhaps e-services more. Well, the idea is to connect the question of security incidents to the throughput. That's the only thing you have to care about, and do it in a convincing way. So the reader should really have a clear understanding that's how it goes, and that's why security incidents influence the throughput. And then you have to say how you measure the throughput. What the throughput is? Is it services, and do you measure that by downtime or whatever as the consequences of the... how do you measure the disruptions of the information security incidents of that? whether it is services of or witches products and so on. In any case, the important thing is that you have a relation between the quality of performance and the quality of the information security. So there are many possibilities of doing that, and that's where you can use your creativity and your understanding of information security to have that. I think you are writing perhaps also for an audience that doesn't know necessarily is not a specialist, if you like, when you are describing the setup of the company, enterprise, and so on. Okay, then we could return to the class. Let me give you a short overview. Okay, here is Skype. Let me see. Reason, that's probably Terrier. Yeah, hi Terrier. Where is your message? Yes. For making the story. Okay. For making a story, should we already now explain all the variables? What you have to do is match the model to your case and to your story. Some of the variables, they have names that are valid no matter which story, but some of the variables have more relevance for the particular story that you are telling. And that's where I would like you. But I am not so sure as to what Terje means by should we already now explain all the variables. Yes. When the variables, yes. That's up to you. The point is that the case and the model variables should be consistent. And you have to identify which variables that are of particular significance for security. So where you do that, that's your choice. You can perhaps already in the definition of the case start indicating that in the model there will be this and this terms of variables. So how you do that, that's you have some degrees of freedom as to how to do that and make the best choice, and then I have to grade that. okay, good. Then as to going back to the class, we have a number of topics to cover today. The first series of topics is about computer security incidents response teams, which we already have mentioned in some exercises when we spoke about quality improvement. The question about computer security incident response teams, first of all, you have there some introduction, some overview, which you might like to see here. You should read that. I am not going to spend a lot of time on that, but I encourage you to have a look at the story there. The question of the computer security incident response teams is interesting because it is still a largely unsolved issue. In the sense, yes, we have a lot of computer security incident response teams, and if you go to this home page, I have to adapt this, November 2011, we are now in 2016, so I'm going to update this. I overlooked that part, even if I put some new figures. So this is the forum, and now there are more members. First members, you can see here how many they are. Alphabetical list. somewhere says how many of them there are. You can see the distribution in the world, members around the world, yes, here, and so on. So, Norway is in there as well. 10 teams. Oi, that's a great progress. Some years ago, there were only 2 teams. So Norway has already 10 teams that are members of this Global Forum for Computer Insecurity Incident Response Teams and so on. I would encourage you, as part of an exercise, perhaps we can give you a little bit of time later, as an exercise, that you look here at first, so that you can see the members, what kind. Is the loudspeaker? It's not working. What funny loudspeaker is this? Why are you not working? It's off. No battery. Somebody has put in here some. Okay. Now, oops, that was big sound. Okay, I had to replace the battery, so that's why you didn't hear the loudspeakers. So there are a lot, apparently they are not rechargeable batteries that were here, so they were empty. Okay, so what I was saying is that it is quite useful to have a look here at the forum for security response teams across the world. Some of them are called CERT, some of them are called CERTs and so on. And you can see a lot about the activities going on and so on and so on. We can come back to that. But why is this topic of computer security incident response teams still not well enough solved issue? That's because I have to find the front, I think. It has disappeared. So let me see again. That's because the computer security incident response teams, they are very complicated organizations, and the tasks they have to solve are complicated. So it is not working well enough. And also, problems that were detected long time ago are still valid. So if you look now at the web page here, after this overview of the performance of CERTs, which I recommend you to read, there are 2 reports that were produced at the Software Engineering Institute, also known as CERT, but that's the original name, and in Pittsburgh at the University of Carnegie Mellon. They are old. They are by now, I think, 13 years old, but still they are authoritative because the problems and issues that the computer security incident response teams are dealing with, they are still pretty much the same. And that has to do with quality improvement, the difficulties of performing well in a world that is changing very rapidly, where we are having more and more sophisticated attacks and so on. And that is this map that you can see here. Oh no, that's not this one. Where is it? It's here. This one. This is a recent version. I think it's by 2014. And you are seeing the time scale here. And you can see the average intruder knowledge in a green line, meaning the knowledge that an intruder needs to have in order to use sophisticated tools. And here you are seeing along this line the increase in sophistication in the attack tools. So along with an advancement in intruder capabilities, there is a strong decrease in the needs of the intruder to use these tools. Of course, those who develop the tools, they are very sophisticated. But the point is, anybody with little technical knowledge can today have access to extremely powerful attack tools. So for the computer security incident response teams, whose responsibility is to protect, to be both reactive, proactive, and so on, to help the users to defend better against intrusions and to be better prepared and so on. So the tasks are increasingly difficult, and as you can imagine, in order to keep with the evolution of attack tools, they have continuously to improve their security methods. So it's about continuous improvement of security. And because of that, there are still major issues with the way CSERTs work that cannot be solved because they are all the time running, having a race against very sophisticated attackers. So that's the motivation for dealing with this, and that's also the reason why these two reports, Organizational Models from Computer Security Incident Response Teams and State of the Practice of Computer Security Incident Response Teams, continue to be valid 13 years after it was published for the first time. Okay, with this, I start the lecture towards a cybersecurity reporting system, a quality improvement process. So the focus of this lecture is pretty much on considering the ability to understand and learn about information security owing to the difficulties to get enough insight on the problems that are occurring. Then the role of computer security incident teams as outsource means, outsourcing of security. Then I will very rapidly review the main lessons from the quality improvement paradox, which you by now should know very well. There are a couple of slides there that probably we can skip, or at least just to point out. And explaining you our findings when we created models for CSETs a couple of years ago. I had a PhD student, Johannes Wieck, who is now working for, I think it's PricewaterhouseCooper in Bergen, and doing very well. So he has profited from his PhD and his system dynamics modeling. Okay, so There is a big question, and that is concerning safety, that is protection, say, of in industrial systems or aviation of aircraft. We have a lot of experience with the reporting systems when events and incidents occur, and they have led to a tremendous improvement in safety. So if you think of aircraft, very, very rarely you have accidents. And the safety of flying has increased all the time. The reason why it has been increasing all the time, why it is so safe to use aviation, is that very early on it was understood that one should analyze anomalous things happening, not just accidents that really lead to crashes and accidents and victims and so on, but also every time the situation seems to be risky. And for this, there were introduced procedures to encourage reporting of near misses based on the insight that near misses, where some things go wrong without leading to an accident, they happen many, many, many more times more than real accidents. So if you only analyze accidents, which are very rare, then you will miss a lot of opportunities for learning. And also in accidents, very often you don't have, you can miss, people can be killed, so that you don't have any more to tell you exactly what they experience. Of course, you have the recorders, the black box, and so on, but that's limited information. Whereas by encouraging reporting of things that cross the safety margins, then you can then deal with 1,000 more of cases from which you can learn, and you are proactive because you act before something happens. And for this, a number of analysis methods have been developed to look at events, organizing in structures called event trees, look at faults that happen, structure them as fault trees, identify hazards, and all the time there are new hazards that may be coming. So for instance, if you think now of the terrible accident with the helicopter soon, so the theory has been advanced that maybe it has to do with the way some parts were wielded. So maybe there is a hazard related with the way this technically has been done, and so on. So learning from that. And you have similar things in petrochemical industry. After some terrible accidents in the 60s in Italy and in India and so on, then as Seveso, Bhopal and so on, then very strict regulations were introduced so that enterprises should enforce reporting. And in order to achieve that, that's an issue by itself. How do you get people to report? First of all, they shouldn't be punished even if they confess that they committed mistakes. They should be encouraged, there should be incentives for that, and so on. So there's a whole issue of psychology and teams and so on that are important for the whole thing that works. Okay, but we don't have something similar, or at least not so successfully, not to that extent, concerning reporting security incidents. We don't have a cybersecurity reporting system of comparable quality. In some organizations, you encourage incident reporting and so on, but there are a number of issues that make that this hasn't been similarly a success as in the question of industrial accidents. And there are several reasons for that. You need good data in order to be able to learn. Again, I don't know why this happens. Maybe it's my body that has discharging electricity. I don't know. You need good data if you want to get insights in reality. But concerning information security, the problem is very often you don't have the data. You don't have the relevant data about cyber incidents. And when there is data, it's not always available because the enterprises don't want to disclose that. They are afraid of being blamed or whatever. So they keep the cards very tight to their breast and don't reveal things. And when they make it available, then very often it turns out that the information is not so usable for doing an analysis of what's wrong. Very often, perhaps the data is related to legal proceedings and so on. And that's not the same as the kind of data that we need in order to create models and understand reality. So, because of all of this, the fact that attackers are very good at hiding and hiding the procedures, the fact that organizations don't often gather data, and if they do, they keep it for themselves, and if they make it available, then very often it's not adequate. This is a big obstacle to develop good systems for reporting and analyzing security incidents. So we have some barriers, and there is separation, there is a wall in between the data that exists in organizations to the extent that exists and the data that we need for scientific research. In the last 10-15 years, we have seen some progress in this direction because more and more organizations recognize that they don't have the capability to deal with security, so they have decided to outsource that. So outsourcing means that more and more enterprises, the language they use in terms of CISELs is speaking of constituents, they use some organization to deal with security issues. And then you have several organizations, independent organizations, or several departments that have a common ground in information security, and there is a team there, a specialist team, that is dealing with security. And the reasons for doing this is simply that information security is more and more complex, changes occur very rapidly, and it makes sense then to use specialists for that, and very often to have that outside of your own company. And we have in Norway several such companies that to which organizations can outsource the security. One of them is Mnemonic, and that's a company we have cooperated with. But there are several others. So, of course, this is happening more and more. So an indication as to how open this happens is to look at the existing CISERTs. And in Norway, we had before 2, now we have 10 that are members of this forum for incident reporting. So that's an indication of more and more entities that are dealing with security. Now, this outsourcing, they can be external or internal. So Mnemonic is an external enterprise. So a company, which one, doesn't matter, just say a bank, could decide we use Mnemonic for our security. We don't have any more a team of specialists on information security. We have a point of contact, of course, we have a security officer and so on, but this person works together with Mnemonic, and it's Mnemonic that provides the software, the hardware, the monitoring and so on, the incidents analysis and so on. So that's a possibility. Another one is that if you have a very big company, say Statoil, they may decide to have an internal CSERT. And that means the different departments and also locations, whether they are in Stavanger, Bergen, Trondheim, Oslo, and so on, they all use the internal CSERTs for outsourcing the security and so on. Now, the moment you have more and more entities that are dealing with information security and that are dealing with different constituents and so on, then you have the possibility of creating a common forum, and that's what happened with CSERTs. They created this forum called FIRST, which I show you the web page in a moment ago. And it started with very few constituents and few activities, but then it became more and more. And I would like you, what we are going to do is in the next lecture, I will begin 10 minutes later at 11:25. I have no clue what happens. That's terrible. I'm sorry, I have no clue what is happening. Maybe it's some personal discharge of electricity. I put it aside. Let's see if it helps. So we start at 11:25 with the lecture, and from 11:15 to 11:25, I would like you to do a survey to look at FIRST. And I'm going to put here a number of issues that I would like you to look at so that you can in this end understand what they are doing, what kind of resources they have, activities, and so on and so on, as a kind of application of this. So that the idea is that you get an understanding that by the very fact of creating common fora from organizations that are dealing with security, we are in a sense able to compensate for the fact that a lot of information about cyber attacks is not disclosed. But on the other hand, we have a lot of specialists who are working together, and there you have the possibility of sharing insights. So here is a short overview, but I would like you to complete this slide with more insights. So the point is, we have outsourced security in terms of more and more computer security incident response teams. Of course, Mnemonic has more than CSETs. They do also other kinds of services. But among other things, they do handle incident responses. Then there is the forum, FIRST, Forum for Incident Response and Security Teams. And they have some activities, more than what I put here. They do have conferences. They have resources, insights, method tools, and so on. And then you could also, but that's big reports, you can later survey in your free time the two reports from the Software Engineering Institute in Pittsburgh, and so that you can capture the main problems that we have in CSERTs. The one is the flood of incidents, but it's not only the number, it's also the increase in sophistication. And because of the increase, both in quality and quantity, then CSERTs need to continuously adapt and improve. And that causes, it's the common strain of resources between doing what you are supposed to do and improving the way you are doing that. These slides, which I will replace one that is a bit more up to date later, the same that I have in the about document, is again a slide that shows over time how the intruder knowledge becomes less and less, while the tools to attack are more and more sophisticated because they can be obtained, some for free, some by paying. There are black markets for all these things. So they are developed by very capable experts, but the users don't need that much knowledge to use that. So in the black markets, we had also a PhD thesis some years ago where we investigated black markets. Even if they are black markets, there is some information that you can capture so as to understand how they are working. And besides, there are different levels of black markets. It is first when the people trust you that you are, have access to the real debts. But there are a lot of things that you can acquire, like credit card information, information about vulnerability, zero-day attacks, and all kinds of things. So that means that there is a market, a powerful market, for all kinds of tools that can compromise information security. So what should CSERTs do? The number of services that they deliver is increasing, but the core services stay the same. And that is, when incidents occur, they will perform the incident analysis. And they will help the constituent with response on their sides. They will provide support. They will coordinate, because very often different constituents may be compromised. In fact, sometimes the CSERTs have to deal also with entities that are outside of the constituency, simply because they have detected that attacks have been performed using networks within the constituency. But again, it has been more and more recognized that in order to improve information security, you need to be proactive. And that's more and more of what they do. As I mentioned, there have been reports analyzing the practice of CSERTs. And the facts are still the same. We have a large increase in the number of CSERTs, especially those that are called external, that is, they are no longer part of the enterprise, but they are outsourced security. There has been a tendency to develop standards for CSERTs and developing of tools. Already very few years after the first CERTs on CSERTs were established, a report done in 1994 had as a main conclusion that CSERTs have to operate with little funding, they don't have sufficient qualified personnel, and they are overworked. And when Kilcrease and co-authors, a German contributor who was part of our PhD thesis team, they found the same things. Basically, CSERTs are underfunded. They are understaffed, among other things, because they are losing qualified personnel. They don't stay for long. And they are under continuous strain because of the big amount of incidents to deal with. So if you read the report by Kilcrease, which is the state of the practice of CSERTs, there is a link in front, then you see that the main message is increase of volume, increase of vulnerabilities, increase of automation, increase of speed. So the staff is under continuous strain, less time to react to new threats. The staff is often under big stress, and that leads to burnout. They lose staff because of their burnout. And all this, insufficient funding, not sufficient management support, and shortage of trained incident hunting staff, organizational issues and not sufficient coordination mechanisms.